Merhaba from Keswick Village. This is the Rorschach Turkey update from the 30th of September, 2025. A quick summary of what's going down in Turkey. On Sunday the 28th, Mujahit Pirinci, a former Justice and Development Party or AKP board member, said Istanbul suffers because courts refused to jail Ekrem İmamoğlu, the mayor of Istanbul from the Republican People's Party or CHP, and the party's presidential candidate, on terrorism charges. He argued this blocked a trustee appointment and called it a, quote, critical mistake, end quote. Pirinci pointed to traffic jams, uncollected garbage, damaged roads, and failing transport as proof of collapse. Back in March, we reported that the police had detained İmamoğlu in a corruption probe and sent him to jail for financial crimes. Prosecutors also asked the court to hold him on charges of aiding a terrorist group, but judges rejected the request, saying his detention on financial groups was enough. These remarks fueled public belief that the crackdown on the opposition serves political aims rather than addressing corruption. Since we mentioned İmamoğlu this week, he described the charges against him as, quote, kafkaeskwa, end quote, in an article published in the French Daily Le Monde. Writing from Marama prison, he compared his trial to Kafka's The Trial, calling them arbitrary and without explanation. He wrote that Istanbul University unlawfully canceled his diploma, and that the dean resigned instead of approving the decision. İmamoğlu argued that the diploma cancellation aimed to block his presidential candidacy. He said Turkey's people have been committed to democracy for over a century, and he would overcome these Kafkaeskwa trials, framing his institution as moving from Kafka to Orwell. Speaking of the opposition, on Monday the 29th, a court sentenced Şeclik Tengiolo, a passerby who punched Özgür Özel, the head of the CHP, to 12 months in prison for attacking him. The incident happened back in May outside the Atatürk Cultural Center in Istanbul after the memorial of pro-Kurdish politician Sarıyer Sarıyer Önder. Tengiolo hit Özel in the face and security quickly detained him afterwards. He stated that he just felt like it at the moment. During the trial, Tengiolo said he regretted the attack and that he did not plan it beforehand. Forensic reports showed that Özel suffered only minor injuries. The court gave Tengiolo a one-year sentence, but allowed him to leave immediately, citing a law that allows prisoners to be released if their sentence is lower than 3 years. The release has stirred debate about whether the punishment fits an attack on a public official. On to education, as on Monday, the 29th, the Cumhuriyet newspaper reported that schools in Turkey are still struggling to provide clean water and healthy meals, especially for the 10 million children living in poverty out of 22 million. Education experts say clean water and safe classrooms are basic rights, not luxuries. They said that the government's White Flag project, aiming to improve school hygiene, mostly stayed on paper. The project started in 2006 with the Ministry of National Education and the Ministry of Health partnering up. Yusuf Tekin, the then undersecretary and now Minister of National Education, promised a hygiene revolution in 2016, but the ministry ended the project in 2021, leaving schools without proper hygiene standards. Parents and teachers want the program to be resumed. On Monday the 29th, the Court of Accounts released an audit of university hospitals, revealing serious issues in financial and operational practices. At Ankara University, auditors found that some faculty received performance payments for patient care tasks, even while attending conferences, taking leave, or submitting medical reports. Karadeniz Technical University Farabi Hospital charged 145 cancer patients over 1.3 million Turkish lira, or over $30,000, for services meant to be free, prompting refunds. Duşa University's pharmacy failed to track medication expiration, and some patients received expired drugs. These findings raise questions about oversight and accountability in Turkey's university hospitals. The gap between wages and living costs in Turkey is widening fast. A report from the Turkish Workers Union stated that single worker now needs about 36,000 lira, about $1,150, to cover basic expenses, but the minimum wage falls more than 14,000 liras, under $450 short. For a family of four, the hunger threshold climbed to nearly 28,000 liras, $900, while the poverty line passed 91,000 liras, about $2,900. Rising food prices drive much of the pressure. Meat, eggs, and lentils saw sharp hikes, and cooking oils nearly doubled. Only potato prices dropped, offering little relief. These figures sparked debate across Turkey, with unions warning that workers cannot keep up as paychecks lose value each month. In some international news, on Monday the 29th, the Johnny M, a ship in the Global Sumut fleet carrying humanitarian aid to Gaza, broke down in the Mediterranean after its engine compartment took on water. The fleet is one of the largest humanitarian missions to Gaza. The boat sent a distress call near the triangle between Crete, Cyprus, and Egypt. Turkey quickly coordinated to evacuate the passengers with the support of the Turkish Red Crescent. Passengers included people from Luxembourg, France, Finland, Mexico, and Malaysia. The fleet's U.S.-based social media account said Turkey's rapid response and the Red Crescent on site helped make the evacuation smooth. Officials said the incident would not affect the fleet's overall schedule. On Monday, the 29th, Ali Yerkaya, the interior minister, announced that since the fall of the Assad regime in December 2024, over 500,000 Syrian nationals have voluntarily returned to their homeland. This brings the overall number of voluntary returns since 2016 to 1,250,000. Yerkaya emphasized that Turkey continues to support Syrians in their voluntary return process, ensuring it remains safe, dignified, and orderly. He highlighted that the Adana Sharishan Voluntary Return Coordination Center is a key facility supporting these returns. The Ministry of Interior aims to set an example to the world with its migration management approach. This week, news that Hacettepe University removed 12 academic staff members, including 8 state theater artists, from its theater department sent shockwaves through the artist community. 2 more resigned in protest, leaving the school short of 14 academics. An instructor said one of the 2 remaining staff has no theater background. He blamed Tamer Karadala, the state theater general director, and a name close to the ruling party. He reportedly told the rector that faculty members worked with opposition municipalities. He added that Cardolo, who had once failed Hacettepe's entrance exam, but now oversees the same institution through a government appointment, might carry some lingering resentment. The animal disease outbreak in Greece continues to hit livestock hard. Until Monday the 29th, authorities reported that over 128,000 animals had been culled in the eastern Macedonia Thrace region, which includes northeastern Greece and northwestern Turkey. To stop the disease from spreading further, officials banned the slaughter of lambs and baby goats in the worst-hit areas. The ban aims to limit the movement of farmers, transporters, and vehicles. Officials said controlling the disease is urgent to protect the remaining animals and prevent further economic losses for the region. For our final story this week, on Saturday the 27th, Nigerian sources reported that a group of politicians from Nigeria's Adamawa state recently took a pricey trip to Turkey with their wives, reportedly worth over $380,000 under the banner of leadership training. The tour included local government chairs and reportedly used public funds. A Nigerian opposition figure called it wasteful. The trip sparked a debate in Nigeria over the misuse of resources and government accountability, with many questioning why officials would spend heavily abroad while local needs go unmet. The discussion also resonated in Turkey, where citizens often criticize the government for prioritizing showy spending instead of addressing pressing public needs. And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us. If you are listening to us on Spotify, you can leave us comments on the episode. They are private by default, and we won't publish them. Leave your email if you want us to get back to you. Hoşça kalın.